Jesus did some pretty incredible things. Over the last 5 or 6 weeks, we've been reading about each Sunday and a different miracle that Jesus did. Can you guys think of some of the amazing things that Jesus did? He walked on water. Yeah. He raised a little girl. He took her by the hand and brought her back to life. Yes. Do you remember what did he say? What happened when there was a storm? Yeah, Oriayo, what did happen when there was a storm? What did he say? I didn't catch that. What did he say to the wind and the waves? Be still. And they listened. He helped people who were blind to be able to see. He helped people who couldn't stop bleeding to be healed. He helped people who couldn't hear and couldn't speak to hear and speak. He taught people all sorts of incredible things. And while he was doing this, he told stories, parables. And so even though he was doing these amazing things, people didn't really know what it meant. It was like a weird, like a symbol, or it looked like something, but we weren't sure what it meant. And when he would tell stories, they weren't sure what he was talking about. And so people were asking, who is he, this man? Who is Jesus? Is he a prophet? Or maybe he's like one of the prophets from thousands of years ago, like Moses or Elijah. People who could make plagues come. People who could make the sun stop in the sky and rain fall. Or people who could make water part and people could walk through on dry ground. Maybe that's who Jesus is like, a legend out of the past. But one day Jesus took his closest friends and he gathered them around. And he said, okay, you hear what everybody else is saying, but I want to know, who do you think that I am? What did the disciples answer him? Jesus. Yeah, that's your name. But what does that mean? Who am I? What does it mean to be Jesus? Jesus. Yeah, it's Jesus. Yeah, we got that. The Messiah. Okay, that's what Peter said. You're the Messiah. Do you know what the word Messiah means? Peter did. Peter knew what it meant. What is it, Messiah? King? Yeah, so he's got authority. What else does the Messiah mean? They were looking for somebody who would come and save them. There were people who were poor. There were people who were being arrested by the empire, the Roman Empire. There were people who were being killed by the empire. And they wanted someone to come and save them. They wanted to know Jesus. They wanted to know God. And yet the temple was run by people who were a little bit not honest. Sometimes were more interested in money. And they wanted someone to come and save them. So when Peter was saying the Messiah, he was saying, you are my king. You are my savior. You're the one who saves me. I can trust you with my whole life. You know the stories about Jesus very well. You've heard what other people say about Jesus. Sometimes people say good things about Jesus, and sometimes people say they don't care about Jesus. But Jesus wants to ask this question of you. What about you? What do you think about me? That's what Jesus is asking you. You're still trying to figure that one out, eh? Yeah, that's right, William.
I think he's the best.
You think he's the best?
Me too.
Have you told Jesus that you trust him?
I trust him, of course.
Have you told Jesus that you want to follow him every day of your life?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, all of you back there think you're getting off easy. Now, I won't, we'll be true to our culture. I won't make you stand up and say amen or hit the sawdust trail and come forward. But if you've told Jesus once that you'll follow him, it's something that you do again and again every day. Jesus asks all of us today, who do you think I am? Will you follow me? If you've prayed this before, it's something you can pray again. If you've never prayed it before, it's something you can pray right now. Jesus, I will follow you. I will trust you with my whole life. So I'm going to take a moment of silence as Chris comes forward to lead us in the next song. We're going to take a moment of silence. And if you've never prayed, said to Jesus, "I want to follow you for the rest of my life," take this moment to do that. And if it's something you've said many times, enjoy that love and that special bond that we have with Jesus once again and say to him, "Jesus, I trust you. I will follow you." Let's pray. Jesus Christ, our children have truly led us in worship, freely answering that they trust you, that you're the best, and they want to follow you. May that be our prayer every day. And may your Spirit come and fill us so that we can follow you. Amen. Well, you can say in your heart that you will follow Jesus. And what is one of the first things that we all must do when we've decided to follow Jesus? Do you guys know what we do in here? We baptisms. That's right. We fill it with water and we're baptized just like Jesus was. Baptism is a pretty, maybe a little bit intimidating. Maybe you feel a little bit nervous about it because you have to, is it easy to stand up in front of everybody and read? And when you have to stand up here by yourself, you know, when we pray privately, don't we? We can talk to God privately and we can read our Bible privately. We can listen to what God says privately. We can tell God everything that we're thinking and feeling privately. And then when we come together in the church, you know, we're singing all together. And so nobody's kind of singing by themselves. When we eat communion, when we all do it together. But baptism, well, it's just you, isn't it? It's you saying to the whole world, "I will follow Jesus. I want my life to be hidden and be right tucked away into Jesus, like I was being tucked into bed." And it's also a time when God says to you, "Today, you are my son. Today, you are my daughter." And this whole congregation says, "You are our brother and our sister. We are one family." Now that is a pretty, maybe something strange to do in front of everybody. But if you look behind you, almost all of these people have been baptized. Do you remember when you were baptized? Look at these people behind you. They're nodding their heads. They remember. Do you remember the day? What it was like? Yeah. Jen? Do you remember your baptism? Do you remember how old you were?
I was 13.
You were 13 years old. And what do you remember about that day?
The sun was shining and almost everything that could go wrong at my
You went under the water
and
came back up. Wow. Marv, were you baptized? How old? Do you remember how old you were? I don't remember how old I was. 15?
At a lake.
At a lake. Outside in the wilderness, hey? And the church was there? There were people there with you? And the pastor put you under the water?
That's right.
What was it like? Was it cold?
I don't think so.
I don't remember. Len, were you baptized? Do you remember when that was?
17, baptized in the river beside the Gordon Bridge.
Okay. Who else? Carmen, do you remember being baptized?
I do.
It was here. You were baptized there. Wow. Oh. Where's Xavier? Is Xavier here? There you are. Xavier, were you baptized? Do you remember you're being baptized?
Yes, I do.
Well, when was it? 2016. What day was it? It was Christmas Eve. Yeah, and it was right here, wasn't it? Yeah. Who was baptized with you that day? Ben sent us. Yeah. Yeah. Adoniram, you were baptized. Yeah, do you remember that day? Wow. What do you remember about it? Where was it? Right here too, hey?
I think the water was fairly nice that day.
Yeah. The water was warm. I was baptized too. I was 16 years old, and I was in Oshawa, Ontario, and a man named Don Reed was a Bible student. He went, and now he's been a pastor for 40 years, but he spent weeks studying the Bible with me, and then we went into my church. We had a baptism tank just like this, and I remember I went under and came back up, and everybody clapped. I was part of this new family. Don tells me it was really funny because when I went down, this big wave of water was splashed all the way out of the tank at the back. All of these people, so many of them have been baptized. If there's anyone who hasn't been, you know, we're going to fill this tank up in Easter. And we're going to be baptizing anyone who's ready for that. So if you haven't, this is the time to do it and to think about it, all right, to do it. And you can talk to any of your pastors about it, if any of you are thinking about it, if you want to join this big family here. And if you're talking to anybody afterwards, you can ask, tell them, you know, I was baptized. Here's when I was baptized. Is that all right? Can we talk about that after the service with each other? All right. Thank you all so much for sharing those stories on the spot. You might think that following someone like Jesus and staying beside Jesus would mean everything can go well. Because he can heal people, he can stop weather, he can change weather, he can raise people from the dead. Boy, you're going to be safe, aren't you, if you follow Jesus? But then Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you have to take up a cross. Remember, the cross is what Jesus died on. Jesus was warning us that following him doesn't mean everything's going to go well and go easily. Now, we are going to hear a story. The choir is going to sing a story, and you guys are going to act out a story. It was one of my favorites when I was young, and that was, and we're going to find out what happened. Three young men said, I will follow you, God. I will trust you. And they were sentenced to death. But God was with them in a surprising way. Following Jesus is the most wonderful thing in life. God, Jesus is always with us. He's faithful. We can trust him, but it doesn't mean that things are always going to go well. But Jesus has said this, I will be with you to the end. Jesus said he knew who Jesus was, and he gave him a name. Peter said he knew, thank you, Jen, who Jesus was, and he named him Messiah. But there was still more for Peter to know about Jesus. He said he knew him, and yet just a moment later, something happened that showed that Peter had only just the slightest picture in his mind of who Jesus truly was. He saw Jesus revealed in a brand new way, shining, beautiful, wonderful. I think there are two applications here for us that I want to highlight. First, humility. We don't know it all. The Transfiguration is a reason for Christians to speak about Jesus and about God with humility. Whatever we think we know about Jesus, whatever we have learned so far about Jesus, there is still more. Others will see things about Jesus that we won't. We will learn more about Jesus throughout life. No matter what, how far we get, there is always more. If you can imagine getting in a spaceship that went really fast and went to explore all the universe, and imagine you had so many hundreds and hundreds of years, there would always be more of the universe to see. And God is beyond the universe. No matter how long we live throughout eternity, there will be always new things for us to comprehend and to understand and to discover about our Creator. I don't think this is just limited to knowing God. You may think you know your best friends. You may think you know mom and dad. You may think you know your children, your brothers and sisters, your spouse. But there is more. Instead of being curious, we tend, I think, to take each other for granted. Oh, I know you. I've been living with you for 70 years or however long it's been. I've seen it on visits, too. But there is more to learn about each other. If only we could remember each day to be curious about the people that we are meeting and the people that we are with. There is some other question to ask the person we live with, or the person we see all the time, our close friends. There is something more to learn about them, and what they're thinking and feeling, and what they've experienced in life. It is such a good discipline to learn to ask the open question, which isn't a yes or a no, but forces people to put into words who they are. And one day we can remember that we will be changed when the trumpet sounds, when we are raised from the dead, and we will be made like Jesus, because we will see Jesus as he is. The Bible says, "You will shine like a star." Is that what you see when you look in the mirror? Is that what you see when you look at each other? Something almost incomprehensibly beautiful. Something wondrous. Something that you could never get to the end of. Is that what you see in each other and in yourself? Because that is what is revealed to us in the Scriptures. But this is first and foremost true about Jesus Christ, our Lord. Getting to know Jesus more is something that can always be on our heart. It's something that we can hope for day after day when we pray, when we read Scripture, when we gather together as a family, when we serve other people. We wonder, who are you, Jesus? Could I have a vision of you in all of your glory like Peter, James, and John did? For 2,000 years, people have been seeing visions of Jesus. People have been getting to know Jesus in Scripture, in prayer, in worship, in service. The most common thing that they talk about, if they were to choose one word, it's love. The love of God revealed in Jesus Christ. The love of God poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Jesus' love is better than anything else in this world. And that is why we choose to follow him. And now as you go with the blessing of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all. And may God so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you might be blameless before our God and Father when Jesus Christ comes with all of his saints in glory.